This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. We're now joined by a doyen, Tass.
A doyen?
A doyen. Paul Gover. Paul has recently left News Corporation. I think you worked there for 118 years, Paul?
Yeah, just slightly older than you, Macca. yes, I was there for 12. I was at News Limited for 22 years, and this is coming up my 43rd year working in and around the car industry in some form or another.
And so you're now a freelancer, and for our listeners, Paul is going to join us regularly to comment on the industry. Now, be warned, Paul, Tass will want to ask you a stupid question about autonomous cars.
But you know, Paul, it's the only subject that I'm interested in.
There are no stupid questions, only stupid answers.
But you know, Paul, we're getting closer and closer to autonomous cars. My partner said to me...
Absolutely, yes. Look, there's a report out this week, in fact, not before 2040 in Australia.
There you go. So, last time I think we spoke, you said it was 2050. So, we're 10 years early.
I said not in my lifetime, right?
Okay.
Let's not peg myself down to a departure date just yet.
Okay. But interestingly enough, though, what my partner was saying this morning over breakfast is that the humble Corolla now has developed new technology and software that actually reads the signs on the road. So that's just, Macca calls it the democratization of safety. I call it one step closer to the autonomous vehicle.
Well, you're both correct.
There we go.
Because basically, you're both correct, because what Macca's saying is that safety is now far more in reach for people who are spending not very much on a new car. Mm-hmm. If you think back about it, safety belts were optional for a very long time, but then they became standard equipment, and so more and more people got their lives saved. This sort of equipment, you're right, because recognising road signs is one of the steps towards autonomous driving. Macca's right that safety is getting more accessible. You know, the safety packs on cars for less than 30 grand now, the sort of stuff that was, unbelievably expensive on Mercedes-Benz S-Class flagships probably 10 years ago, and yet now you can get it for under 30 grand.
That's right.
But what's happening, obviously, is that more and more safety stuff's coming along, and the ultimate goal, yes, is cars that don't crash.
Yes.
Forget about autonomous driving, because basically autonomous driving is a byproduct of the fact that you want cars that don't crash into each other. And the best way to have them not crash into each other is actually to drive themselves, but also to talk to each other so that the car, instead, where you're driving along, wobbling along, that person you saw this morning driving to work who was texting or talking on the phone and not paying attention, well, the car's always paying attention because it's got no friends.
Mm.
So it's not going to be on, social media. But also, it's saying, I'm coming up to this junction now, and the car coming the other way goes, oh, well, I'm coming up that junction too, after you, away you go. So there's lots of stuff to come before it happens. But you're both correct on the safety front at the moment.
So our car, for example, has this thing called dynamic cruise control. And what that means is that when I'm driving on the highway...
It's horrible.
Well, I think it's great, actually.
Let me tell you why it's horrible. One, it stops you concentrating on your job, which is driving the car. And two, it uses a radar. I agree with you that it's nice that it sets the speed limit and all that. But have you noticed that when you set the speed limit, you say you set the thing to be driving at 100 kilometres an hour.
Yep.
Sometimes you look down and you'll be doing 83 or 94. Because what the radar does is it matches... doesn't actually hold the... It holds the speed that you want in ideal conditions. But if there's somebody in front of you going slower, what it does is it slows down to their speed.
Well, that's exactly right. Yep. So that's what you want to do.
Well, they need to get out of the bloody way.
Because if there's a lane alongside you with nobody in it...
It should change
lanes.
You can
change lanes and hold your 100 kilometres an hour.
But that's the next development, isn't it, Paul?
No, they're not, no. No, that isn't the next development.
Dear.
That's about 10 steps down the way artificial intelligence. There's no way that cars think like that.
Right.
Not in the medium to long-term future. The other thing that's bad about those autonomous cruise control things is have you also had the situation where you've been in traffic and you do change lanes and it suddenly spots something and jams the brakes on?
Yes, I have.
Right. So these are both flaws in assist. I agree with you that there are potentially lots and lots of benefits for them. But again, what you're talking about is another step towards autonomous cars. Because if you have cars that are all linked together with radar cruise control, and see at the moment what it's doing is allowing a fair distance, 100 metres or something, between you and the car in front. Eventually, what they'll be able to do is set the system so that it's got 1 metre to the car in front, and instead of you being you and one other car driving along the road, there'll be 20 cars all linked together driving off the artificial intelligence of the front car, one car ahead.
So that's where we're going, and I think that's only a matter of time, Paul, but we'll have to agree to differ on this. But I want to ask you about something else. It's completely different.
Yeah.
What's going on in Holden Land at the moment?
Not putting too fine a point on it. Somebody's let off a small nuclear weapon in Fisherman's Bay. There's a smoke.
Small? You reckon that's a small nuclear weapon?
Well, it's a tactical nuke. It's only hit Holden. It hasn't affected Hyundai or Toyota or Mazda or, sadly, all the people that Holden competes against. I mean, I've seen a lot of things over 40 years. I don't think I've ever seen a performance as disastrous as Holden's put on since the end of last year. And I've seen the closure of Leyland as a local manufacturer. I've seen Chrysler leave Australia and sell off to Mitsubishi. I've seen Holden and Toyota in a joint venture at one point. People don't believe me. They think that box fantasy. But I've seen people pull out of Australian manufacturing. I mean, most recently Ford, but nobody has done it as catastrophically successfully as Holden. Can you say that? Catastrophically successful?
Well, anyway, I'm going to ask you to explain what you're talking about because...
Holden used to be... Back in the day, Holden was the preeminent car company in Australia.
Yes.
At times, they had 50% of all the cars sold in Australia were Holden.
Yes.
Last month, their market share was below 5%. Last month, their sales result... Well, this quarter, the first quarter of this year, the sales results are the worst in 60 years.
So they've been developing the wrong product in this market?
No, they've had completely wrong strategy in this market. I mean, there are companies that have worse products than Holden's. And some of them, not a lot of people that are worse, but there are people successfully selling stuff that is worse than what Holden sells. But what Holden's done was... Last year, they were shutting the Commodore factory, and some geniuses in the GM world decided that, well, we're getting rid of the old-fashioned Holden Commodore, so let's run ads and say, I don't want cars like my grandfather had, even though they did all the things that you're talking about with your Corolla. They were perfectly fit for purpose, they were good value, all that stuff. So basically what they did was, pardon me saying this, they pissed off all the traditional Holden people. The rusted on Holden people, they said, we don't want you anymore because we're not going to make the Commodore you want and you're not the people that are going to take our company forward. And so they decided they thought they could be the new Volkswagen. Like all the funky, young, trendy people would want to buy Volkswagen Polos and Golfs and all of that sort of stuff because they're European and trendy. They thought they'd be able to get those people because
they
those people gone, I'm not buying a Holden. Why would I want anything with a Holden badge on it? So they haven't come either. So what they've done is they got rid of all the people that used to support them, pushed them away, didn't want to know about them. And then, of course, they've gone out, you know, on the dating scene trying to pick up the good-looking young girl and or bloke or whatever they're trying to do and had zero success.
So they've had the wrong strategy, the wrong set of products, and they've basically lost their market share and now they've left the country. Paul, it's always great to chat with you.
They're still here.
Well, they're about to, though, aren't they?
I think they'll stay, hopefully. I think GM will stay in Australia. Whether the company will be called Holden in 5 years' time, that's probably... There's more chance of that than an autonomous car in 5 years.
Paul, we've run out of time, unfortunately. It's always great to chat with you. I love your analysis of what's happening in the driverless motor vehicle industry, and we'll continue that as a theme.
Oh, you're such a tool.
We'll continue that as a theme. It's very interesting because you've actually softened your position.
Every time we talk about it, we just go round and round in circles.
But soften your position every time we speak.
There's always new information. But
there
still,
you go.
I'm still talking 2040.
There you go, Paul Gover.
Thanks, Paul.
Great to talk.
Paul Gover, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time this morning. It's always great to chat to Paul.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.